You can go to 40 seminars about finances and be 40 times deeper in debt until you make a commitment, I'm going to get financially free.
You've tuned to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Charles Stanley. This time of year, we're often forced to take inventory of our spending habits. Unfortunately, some people exist dangerously close to bankruptcy. Many have obligated every penny they make and stretched their credit to its breaking point. The debt balloon that results from excessive spending practices can only be inflated so far before it explodes. If you found yourself in debt and you want to get out, stay tuned. Dr. Stanley offers you financial wisdom from God's Word for dealing with debt. He first exposes the root of most financial problems and then gives you the biblical tools that, if applied, will help you solve the problem of debt. Here's Charles Stanley with more.
Is it wrong to borrow money? Is it a sin to be in debt to someone? Well, that's what I want to talk about in this message, and this is one in our series entitled Financial Wisdom. And the title of this message is Dealing with Debt. And I want you to turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 13, and the verse that most people always point to when it comes to believers owing anyone anything is verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Now, when you come to verse 8, and the scripture says, owe nothing to anyone, does that mean that you should never owe anybody anything, that you should never contract any form of debt at all when he says, owe nothing to anyone? Well, first of all, it's easy to take a verse of scripture out of the context, out of the whole body of what is being said, and make it mean anything you want to. So let's look to see what's going on in this passage. First of all, Paul is talking about submission to governmental authority. And the process of talking about that, he says, we have a responsibility to pay our taxes. Now, we may not like the rate or anything else. I'm sure they didn't in those days. But he said, render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, I want you to look at some words in these two verses, verse 7 and verse 8. Look, if you will, in verse 7. When he says, he uses the word render, the word means pay back. That is, pay off. When he uses the word due here, render to all what is due, verse 8, the first word is owe. The word due and the word owe are the same Greek word, or at least have the same origin. When he says, render to all what is due, what he's saying is, pay back what is due them, or what you owe. When he says in verse 8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, what he's saying is, do not let your debt be outstanding. He says, don't refuse to pay, don't keep from paying. All of your debts incurred, he said, should be paid in full. The problem today is not that the Bible says you should never, under any condition, ever owe anybody anything. Because that's not what he's saying here. But whatever you owe as a believer, we're to pay it off. And we're to pay it off on time. We're not to be overdue and overextended and get ourselves in trouble. So let's ask the question, how does a person get in debt? So I want you to get a pencil and piece of paper. I'm going to give you 7 words. And I trust that you'll be wise enough to write them down. If you don't need them and you're not in debt, somebody else is, and you won't remember it unless you write it down. So I want to encourage you to write it down. The 7 words. And the first one is this. Now let me make one exception at the beginning. This is not to say, and I don't think you can say this, you cannot say that every single solitary debt in all the world is a result of these things. But it is true of most debt by far. The vast, vast majority of debt is the result of what I want to talk about here. There are those catastrophic things that happen in life that are exceptions. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about where most Americans are in debt up over their head. And so where does it begin? The first word is desire. The desire for things we do not need, and the desire for things that oftentimes are not in the will of God, and the desire for things that sometimes we don't understand, and so we get ourselves involved in situations and circumstances that ultimately end up in debt. But primarily the word is desire. Desire for things that we don't need and things that we desire that we think we just have to have. The second word is deception. And the word deception is an important word because here's what happens. We allow ourselves to be deceived between the difference between what I want and what I need. Is it something I desire or something I really need? And so we allow ourselves to be deceived into thinking, now I really and truly need this. When I don't need it, I want it. And oftentimes when somebody wants something real bad, and I mean they really want it badly, they talk themselves into, you know, I really need this. You can talk yourself into most anything if you work at it long enough. And so, you know, well, I really and truly need this. I could do without it, but I really need it. So part of that deception is we just think we just have to have it. The second part of that deception is I not only need it, but I need it now. Oh, I could wait 6 months, but I really need it now. And so we make hasty decisions. The deception is I need it instead of desiring it. Secondly, I need it now. And when I think about the whole idea of deception, here is the most critical part. The idea is, well, if I can get the credit easy, I can pay it off easy. And what we don't realize is the complexity of compounding interest on your future income. And a lot of people are spending tomorrow's income today on interest. And so what happens is we get deceived. All right, the third word is doubt. And that is, we doubt that God could provide for us our need. And so we say, well, you know, I know the Lord could do it, but, you know, God's given me common sense, and I do have the money, and not recognizing where it's going to lead. So part of the problem is we doubt God. God will direct us, and God will give us direction, and most of the time we get in trouble because we doubt God's ability to provide. And as we said, we want it on our terms, not his. The fourth word is decision. So, having this strong desire, being deceived by the ads, and doubting God's provision, what do? We make a decision. Now, what are those decisions? Well, that decision may involve a number of things, and it may involve purchasing something that I know I'm going to have a struggle to pay back. And secondly, it may involve co-signing a note and getting yourself in trouble about that. Or it may be borrowing money for something that is risky, which is certainly not in God's will, I don't believe. And then purchasing something that you don't have any leadership of the Lord. You pray about it and you get nothing, then don't do it. And so one of the reasons we get in debt, the decisions we make. So what are the words? What's the first word? Second word? Third word? Fourth word? Fifth word is just natural, delay. It's that first payment. Well, I'll make two next month. Then I'm going to make three the third month. And so what happens is we delay in the payment or we default on it. And the next word is disobedience, because that is exactly what happens. We disobey God. When we fail to pay our debts, we disobey God. The Bible says the wicked do not repay. And so when a Christian does not pay their debts, what happens is the next word I want you to jot down, and that is after disobedience, is the word damage. We damage our Christian testimony. When a person is a Christian and they do not repay their debts, they do not pay them on time, they damage their Christian testimony. When he says, owe no man anything except to love one another, whatever you owe that person, you're to pay them. That is, we're not to be in debt, not being able to meet our financial obligations. And we're to do it on time. That is the train right there. And if you just look at that and ask yourself the question, God, where did I start? And more than likely, you're going to realize that you started back there with something that appeared to be insignificant, and your desires got a little bit out of control, and you got deceived. You said, that's something I need. I need it now. And you know, it's coming easy, so I can pay it back. And so instead of waiting on God to provide it, you made a decision. You misused the credit, buying things, purchasing things, not the will of God. And debt slips up on us real simply. Now, the question comes, how do we eliminate it? First of all, the entrance into debt. Now, how do you get out? That is elimination of debt. And I want to give you 10 words, and I pray in Jesus' name that you will write them down and that you will adhere to them. God will get you out of debt if you'll follow this simple formula. I don't mean by simple that it's easy, but it is simple. Financial freedom is what every child of God should desire. What's the first word? The first word is conviction. Conviction that I am in debt and it's not the will of God. As long as you rationalize it and sort of gloss it over and count it and say, well, everybody owes something, that's not even the issue. The issue is, do you want to be financially free? Do you want to be out of debt? That's the issue. The issue is not what everybody else owes. Has nothing to do with you. We're talking about you getting out of debt. The first word is conviction. Conviction that I am in debt. I realize I am overdue, overextended, making decisions based on other things than the will of God, and convicted about it enough that I am willing to do something about it. So first word is conviction. The second word is confession. It's one thing to be convicted of it. It's something else to confess it. Lord, I have let my desires control my expenditures. I have not been a good steward. I have let myself get enslaved. I've affected my family, my relationship to you, my relationship to others. I've hurt my testimony, if that's been true. But just confess it. First of all, God already knows about it anyway. Now, the confession must also involve repentance. Not only do I confess it, but I confess it and make a change in my lifestyle. That is, I'm going to make a change. First of all, conviction. Secondly, confession. And the third word is commitment. Now, commitment isn't, well, I think I'm going to get out of debt. That's not a commitment. Or, I really do want to get out of debt. That's not a commitment. I have a strong desire to get out of debt. That's not a commitment. One of these days, I guarantee you I'm getting out of debt. That's not a commitment. I've been thinking about it seriously, talking to my friends, and we have really been talking about my getting out of debt. Friend, I don't care who you talk to. That's not commitment. Here's what a commitment is. Commitment is a decision that you're going to do something backed up with the courage to make it happen. That's what a commitment is. It's a decision that's backed up by courage that you're going to make it happen. You are committed to doing it. It will happen. You have the courage and the sacrificial spirit to go at it. And I think many people, that's where they fail. They have no commitment. They have a desire, a strong desire. They love to talk about it, love to read about it, love to read books, go to seminars. Listen, you can go to 40 seminars about finances and be 40 times deeper in debt until you make a commitment, I'm going to get financially free. Fourth word, confidence. Confidence that God will guide you to get out of debt. He says, listen, I will guide thee with mine eye. I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. You don't have to say, Lord, would you enable me to get out of debt? You don't even have to ask him that question. He's sitting already. After you've been convicted about it, and after you've confessed and repented of it, and after you've made a commitment about it, then that's now we're getting down to where God's going to listen. And that is, you are confident that God will enable you to do it. Listen, you don't even have to ask, Lord, get me out of debt if it's your will. First of all, he's not going to get you out. He's going to show you how you can be financially free. But he's not just going to send somebody over to pay all of your debts off. You know why God's not going to do that? Because he knows all you're going to do is just start right back again. Listen, when you get out cheap, you get back in quick. And the pressure and the hardship is part of God defending us from doing the same thing again. Fifth word is cooperation. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say that you're married. And if you're going to get out of debt, husbands and wife and children must all cooperate. If your wife says, well, you got us into debt, you get us out. That won't work. Or if she comes home and says, listen, you know, I've been trying to get help us get out of debt with some things I want. Now, from now on, you can just take care of the debt, and I'm just going to do what I please. It's your fault. And lots of reasons. You can't have that. And the problem is we've created this mess. Now, the world's not going to get out. But you, as a God-fearing man or woman, need to do the very opposite from what the world is doing. And it may mean there's going to have to be sacrifice at your house before you get out of debt. You may have to hear your wife complain, or your husband complain, or the children complain. But get out of debt anyway. Sixth word is, listen, construct. Just jot that one down. Construct a budget that involves repayment of debt. If you want to get out of debt, it starts with a pencil and piece of paper at this juncture and writing down all the things that you owe, all the people that you owe, how much income you have, what you spend your money on, what can you eliminate, how can you reduce the debt, and starting with that, how much am I going to be able to repay all these folks whom I owe? So constructing a budget that involves repayment to those people that we owe. The next word is change. Change our spending habits. Change our spending habits. Now, what are we talking about? Well, first of all, if I should ask you, what's the first thing you do to get out of debt? Somebody says, well, make more money. No. Here's what happens to folks. They say, well, I'm going to make more money and get out of debt. You make more money, and all of a sudden you think, got a little extra. The next thing you know, you're spending some more. You can make more and more money and get more and more debt. For example, there are a lot of people who become multimillionaires who lose it all. You know why? Because the more they made, the more they invested or spent unwisely, and before long, they owe it all. You know, I don't understand anybody who can have so much money and lose it all. Yes, I do. When you owe it all, you can lose it all. Now, not only that, but under the same word of change, you change your priorities. Once I change my priorities, my spending gets changed. Once I change my priorities, my spending gets changed. Then, you may have to sell some of your assets. For example, let's say that you're a great antique collector. I'm not against antiques. Or you've got a boat and a beautiful set of golf clubs, or you've got this or you have that, and you say, I've had these things for years and years, and they are very valuable to me. What's more valuable to you? Relationship to Christ, your Christian witness, or something you've got sitting in a garage or in the house? So if you really want to get out of debt, it may be that you change your spending habits by reducing your spending and by changing your priorities, and it may be that it includes selling something you have. The eighth word is counsel. Counsel with authority. Now, somebody says, well, I can handle it. And you handle it for about a month and you're back where you were. I want to encourage you to find someone you can counsel with who will make you accountable. Counsel with accountability. Not just counsel. Your friends can counsel you. Say, how you doing? Doing fantastic. You've paid off $10 of debt in 2 months. That's not paying it off. Counsel with accountability. The next word I want you to jot down is contributions. You see, somebody says, well, I can't give God anything, man. I owe it all. You're going to keep on owing it all till you deal with that. Because you see, the scripture says, and there are lots of verses we could turn to, but the Bible says that you're not to give, not just what's left over. Nowhere in the Bible does it even imply that I am simply to give what's left over. But the Bible says, rather, I am to honor Him with the first fruits. Honor the Lord from your wealth, from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And in an agricultural way, what he was saying is, the first of the crops, give them to God. Listen to this verse. Not a suggestion, but a command. Upon the first day of the week, Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store as the Lord has prospered him. You see, God's plan is that the believer lay aside a tenth of his income or her income in order to give to the Lord's work. You say, I can't afford that. There's no way I could start off giving a tenth. What about giving a dollar? You see, you're not going to get out of debt disobeying God. When God says we're to give to His work, and you say, well, I'm going to pay off these creditors, and then I'm going to start giving to God. Here's what I want you to say. And I tell you this with all of my heart because I love you. You cannot disobey God over here and expect Him to fix up everything over here while you're still disobeying Him. I have to face this, because what happens is my capacity to make wise decisions diminishes. Listen, my capacity and my wisdom to make wise decisions over here diminishes as long as I'm disobeying God over here. And that's where a lot of people are. And the tenth word is consistency. You can't decide, I'm going to do this for a month, and then all of a sudden you say, well, I have been faithful to God for a month. I think I'm going to the mall this afternoon. Because as surely as you do, you are going to get into trouble. And I want to encourage you, consistency. That is, listen, you made a commitment, stick with it. Whatever it costs, stick with it. God will enable you, lead you out of debt. Now, the most important thing I want to say, I'm going to say now, so I want you to listen carefully. The way you get out of financial debt is to repay your creditors. But all of us have a sin debt. We've sinned against God. And you can't get out of sin debt by paying God off. Because you see, 2,000 years ago, God Himself agreed, pre-planned before the foundation of the world, to take care of my sin debt. And so he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and placed all of your sin debt upon him. And therefore, any person who receives, accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that person is forgiven of their sin, past, present, future, forever, and you're a child of God. Financial debt's one thing, but the debt of sin, the payment of which you have ignored and do ignore, one of these days when that debt comes due, it'll be a price you don't want to pay, and that is the price of your eternal life. And I want to encourage you today that if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you see, all of those sins is a debt. And you can't repay him by giving him money, by doing good works, going to church, being baptized. The only way that debt can be repaid is for him to pay it. And he's paid it. And the only way that can be accrued to your account so that you're now free is to accept by faith his Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin and receive the gift of eternal life and allow him then to guide and to govern and to guard your life all the days of your life. And that is my prayer for you if you have never trusted him as your personal Savior.